The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Our hearts go out to the victims in New York, including the police officer who had several kids and his wife was pregnant. Awful situation in New York. This lunatic who was on meds and claimed he had concussion, was apparently trying to kill NFL officials. Horrific situation in New York City. This guy was a lunatic. Democrats, of course, already jumping on screaming about gun control. I'd like to know about psychotropic medication control, because I'd like to know what the guy was on. And then he had medication in his car, and it's believed to be that he was, you know, I mean, obviously the guy's out of his friggin' mind. He's blaming that on concussions, but I'd like to know what sort of antidepressants he was on, what else he was on, and I think that would be a really important conversation to have. But obviously, this shooting in New York, horrific as it is, and four people killed, and it's 6:30, it's, you know, it's rush hour, it's in an office building. Kind of a game changer on the mayor's race, potentially, in New York, because Zoran Mamdani wants to defund the police. Like all Democrats, he went through his defund the police phase, and now he's pretending like he never said those things. But he said it, and we have the receipts. And the NYPD responded to this immediately. They lost one of their own. It's a heartbreaking situation. And I just got to wonder, you know, if you're a New Yorker at this point, do you elect a guy who wants to defund the police department that was just responding to a crazy guy who drove from the West Coast to New York in Midtown Manhattan, walks into a skyscraper, kills a cop, kills three other innocent people? Do you want to defund that police department? Is that what you want? I'm just wondering, because that's what Zoran Mamdani and a lot of his ilk on the left, that's their thing these days, you know? That's their thing. So we'll talk about that as the show goes on. The polling numbers for Democrats are just absolutely awful. I mean, I don't think it can get any worse for them. And if you wonder why, you'll have to understand the outrage over Sidney Sweeney and the jeans commercial. So yesterday, we played you the ad. Sydney Sweeney is this young, attractive, she's like 27 years old, beautiful, blonde with blue eyes. And they made this tongue-in-cheek joke, Sydney Sweeney has good genes, G-E-N-E-S. And she crosses it out and writes jeans for American Eagle jeans. And the left lost their freaking mind, as they always do. Salon, MSNBC, writing pieces about this is whiteness, echoes to Nazi propaganda, Good Morning America, Nazi propaganda, Trump's America, they only want white people with blonde hair and blue eyes. It's actually, though, believe it or not, it's a play on a Brooke Shields ad from the 1970s, which the controversy back then was, and probably legitimate, the fact that she was 15 years old when she did that ad. But that's actually, it's a play on that ad. The Brooke Shields ad, because in that ad, she was learning about jeans, G-E-N-E-S, while wearing her jeans and trying to take her jeans off. And so at the time, America was not nearly as nuts as it is today. So people were just angry at the time that this, you know, she's 15 years old and it was kind of like child sex exploitation in that ad, although Brooke Shields later would go on to say she didn't really quite understand what the controversy was about. But since we weren't as nuts as we are today, they weren't screaming that, oh, my God, they made a jeans reference. Therefore, this is about eugenics and Nazi propaganda. Got it? And so here's my tip to the left. And this is a free tip. And this is just, you know, take it for what it's worth. The fact that you're losing your mind and you're screaming that a jeans ad is Nazi propaganda and now jeans are a symbol of white supremacy is why everybody hates you. Okay? It's why everybody hates you. And it's why Democrats are polling at such low levels that Harry Enten, who I believe wears khakis, and just for the record, I am not a khakis guy. I'm not a fan of them. I don't like wearing them. I don't like the color khaki. I don't. So if I have to wear dress pants, dressier pants than jeans, then I will throw on a pair of blue, not khaki colored, unless I have to. Like, if I have to do that, then, you know, if I'm in a wedding or something like that. Otherwise, I think I have one pair, and they're in the closet. They just remind me of Steve Kornacki. You know, the MSNBC pollster, and he's a Jersey guy, and he made khakis famous. I think he even landed, like, a khaki deal. They also remind me of Jake from State Farm and the khakis. And I don't know. I'm just not a khaki guy. Some people are. Some people like rocking khakis. I'm just not one of them. It's not me. So I'm going to continue to wear jeans. And that's unfortunate that they are now apparently a symbol of white supremacy. I'm still going to keep wearing them. I don't know about jean jackets, though. Although I do have a rule. Jean jackets on women, yes. On men, no. This isn't the 1980s. You're not Bruce Springsteen. And let's not go down that road, guys. I have another issue, too, with what are called jorts. That's short for jean shorts. Jorts on men, never, unacceptable. Do not wear them. Much like flip-flops in the workplace, absolutely unacceptable. Jean shorts on women, though, should be, in my opinion, considered to be a universal human right. Most women, majority of them, look amazing in jean shorts. So big fan of that for the ladies. But men, it's like when men wear skinny jeans. They're not real. Those are betas. They voted for those are dudes for Kamala Harris who wear skinny jeans, basically. And the same thing with guys with jean shorts. All right. It's not a good look. Not a good look. Khakis, of course, are acceptable. And many people wear them in the workplace. So the Sydney Sweeney ad has sparked all this backlash because she happens to be blonde with blue eyes and has good jeans. So now if you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, hey, you have any history of heart disease in your family or anything like that? And you go, no, I have good genes. Careful. Be very careful now because you might have just gone down the road of eugenics. Now, the left is never going to bring up Margaret Sanger, who was a big proponent of eugenics. She founded Planned Parenthood. They won't bring that up, but they'll scream about this. And they'll show it on shows like Good Morning America. So we'll get into all that today, obviously. And we'll talk about the president's EU trade deal. And we'll talk about some new polling in New Jersey. Jack Cittarelli, according to a new poll by a fairly ridiculous university, is only down by like 7 points against Mikey Sherrill. And that poll's wrong, like the Eagleton poll, which showed that Mikey Sherrill is up against the Republican Jack Cittarelli by 20 points. That poll's also wrong. But here's what's interesting about the poll, and the only reason why I'm bringing this up to start the show here today, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. When you dig into the polling, what you find is that whenever the issues that people actually care about are brought up, taxes, education, crime, Jack wins. When Trump is brought up, this is among independents now, among independent voters, when Trump's brought up, then Mikey Sherrill's numbers look better. Which is why the Democrat running for governor is trying to make the race a referendum on Donald Trump. Versus the issues that people actually care about in New Jersey. Because as I was digging through this poll, and I normally don't care, I really don't, and I was only just kind of curious because two things. Number one, they looked at registered voters. Registered voters are stupid to look at registered voters anyway because registered voters are not likely voters. Likely voters are different, and that's who you should be polling. So typically I throw any poll that has to do with registered voters away, and typically I poll any I throw any poll that Fairleigh Dickinson or Rutgers or Monmouth University or any of these other polling institutes do. I throw them away, too. But I do like looking at the crosstabs, and I do like thinking about what issues people really care about. And this poll in 2021 had His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable like winning by double digits, just like the Eagleton poll. Not as bad, but, you know. So it played into the whole thing of keeping hundreds of thousands of Republicans home because they all believe that Murphy had it in the bag and that was going to be the end of it. But when you look at the issues, when they actually ask people about issues and their independents or their Democrats who are not psychos, like psycho Democrats, and there's not many of those left, but some, then they all agree that the state's on the wrong direction, wrong track, and they like Jack Ciccarelli's ideas better. So from now until November, if you are in New Jersey or in Pennsylvania, because you're going to get to hear all the radio ads and you're going to see the TV ads too, especially in the Philadelphia market, because New Jersey, you got to run two media markets. You got to buy ad time in New York and Philadelphia. And of course, you also have to buy in smaller markets too, like Lehigh Valley and some markets in New Jersey. But for the most part, running for governor of New Jersey is very expensive for the reasons that you're dealing with two very expensive media markets in New York and Philly. And you reach people also nowadays by buying online, because most people are – that's where they are. They're online these days. So you may have to watch one of these hideous ads at some point from Mikey Sherrill, who's going to make this race entirely about Donald Trump. It's the only way she wins. The only way she wins. Because if it's really about issues and it's really about her, she loses. There's no way she wins. There's no way a Democrat wins. I mean, a generic Democrat does not win right now. Because we just had 8 years of this idiot who has destroyed New Jersey in so many ways. And, you know, you might have noticed it's hot out. Did you notice? Has anyone told you we are having a big heat wave right now? Yeah, you heard that, right? It's 101 freaking degrees, but the real feels like 162 or whatever it is. And this is going to last now till Friday. I took my son to lacrosse camp today, and we made sure he was hydrated. Claire's got her play tonight. So we're very, very busy with all the kids and all their projects and trying to keep them cool. And my fellow parents and grandparents out there who are dealing with this, you understand the struggle right now, and it's real. A lot of kids are going to be inside because it's so freaking hot out, you know, in the afternoon in particular. So you might have heard it's hot, and you might have your air conditioner running. Now, thank God we have one. I mean, thank God. You know, and my buddy Jay, who helped me with my air conditioner, guys like him are heroes on days like today. They really are. Not all heroes wear capes, but air conditioning is also racist and sexist. I've talked about that before, but it is racist and sexist. You know that too, obviously. Oh, it is. There was a piece that was written years ago about this, about how air conditioning is sexist because women are usually colder than men. And a lot of times in office environments, the air conditioning is turned up or turned down, I guess you'd say, to make the temperature down. So that would be turned up. And that's sexist. There was a whole thing on that. And it's racist, too. I forget why exactly. I'm not sure. But I just know it is. Like jeans, like blue jeans are racist now, too. It doesn't have to make logical sense. Just know these things, okay? All right. Anyway, so your electricity bill is right now the meter is churning. You know what I mean? Unless you have a nuclear-powered mini-nuclear reactor in your backyard, like that electricity meter is churning like crazy right now. And you're paying more in New Jersey because that idiot governor, his royal rugness. Oh, that's right. It was Taylor Lorenz who said air conditioning is sexist. That's right. That moron. That's, yeah. Actually, Matt, can you find that piece? That's a gem. We should bring that out on a nice hot day like today. So your electricity rates are very high right now because the idiot governor, his royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable, decided that he was going to make California or New Jersey the California of the East Coast. And he shut down all the coal-fired power plants. And New Jersey went from being an energy exporter to being now in a state that has to import all its energy. And now the rates are through the friggin' roof. But wait, there's more. Act now and your rates will go up again in September, because they're going to go up again in September. And all those idiots on the Board of Public Utilities who approve these rate increases also did things like hit up ratepayers for those offshore windmills, which never happened. So now we have to also bail them out, too. And you've been paying for that in your electricity bill. Plus, you got to pay all kinds of nonsense for green renewable nonsense that doesn't work and all the other things. So, yeah, like windmills on a day like today when there's absolutely no breeze. No breeze whatsoever. There's no breeze. I mean, I went outside and I was picking up Patrick from lacrosse camp, thinking to myself, these poor kids are out here and there's no friggin' breeze. But, you know, turn the hose on, spray yourself down and drink from it while you're at it. You'll be fine. You'll be just fine. The water bottle generation. Every kid now with the water bottle. I don't know how we survived as kids. I don't think I knew what a water bottle was growing up. I really don't. My wife spends a good 25-30 minutes each day prepping water bottles for my for my children with fresh ice and fresh water. I don't know how we survived as kids without water bottles, without clutching them by our side at every moment. And everywhere you go, do you notice the water bottles, parents and water bottles everywhere. There's even a generation of people that in the workplace that walk around with water bottles as if there's no water at work. It's really amazing to me. Yet somehow Gen Xers found a way to drink from something called a water fountain and a hose and live to tell about it. I don't know. But I digress. The point is this. These voters who are all running their air conditioner today, when they get their electric bill, which is could be tomorrow or whenever the bills come out, they're all angry. And they're blaming the imbecile Democrat governor, and they want change. And this is a change election, and they should blame him because it's his fault. Because he wants to be president. And like all the Democrats who want to be president, you go back in the Wayback Machine a couple years ago when they were all in on this green scam. You know, they were out competing each other to see who could do more to kill whales and dolphins by putting up these monstrosity wind turbines off the shore. Who could do more to kill birds with deli slicers in the sky? Because that's what they are, the windmills. They're deli slicers in the sky. And I'm glad the president brought that up right there in front of the prime minister of the UK, talking about the deli slicers in the sky, killing eagles, killing all these birds. I'm glad the president mentioned that. And he said, we're not going to have them in America. Good. So on a day like today, when there's no freaking breeze out, guess what? You're not getting electricity. That's right. So when voters look at the issues that actually matter, and the Democrats think that Trump is going to be their way to win, I have news for them. It's not going to work. You know why? Because people are onto their little game right now. People know that Donald Trump, whether they like him or not, like whether these suburban moms and dads like him or not, they may not like him. They're going to vote. They voted for him. And they're going to vote for the Republican for governor. And here's how I know why. You know why I know why? Because the Democrats are polling at their lowest levels ever. And you still have many of them who are advocating for children's junk to be chopped off, for boys to play in women's sports. And they're screaming that a jeans ad is secret Nazi eugenics propaganda. In other words, they are still on the wrong side of every issue. And guess what? They're all still embracing the green scam. They're all still on it, in on it, the green scam. Oh, yeah, that's right. Saying that you got to have this, you got to have it, and you better make sure that you've got it. Wind and solar. So I think Jack Cirilli's got a really great shot. I think Republicans in general do, because the voters are smart enough to know Trump is deregulating energy. He's deregulating nuclear. He's doing more for natural gas. They saw that big summit they just had in Pennsylvania. And some Democrats who are smart and are playing a game, you know, obviously to run it in 2028, like Josh Shapiro and John Fetterman, they're embracing energy. But with the caveat, of course, of saying, but we want an all-in approach. You know, we're all in on all the other things, too. I don't want to be all in. I don't want wind, and I don't want solar. I don't want these things because they're made in China, and you can't get rid of them, and we don't need them. We've got natural gas and nuclear power, and we do not need it. We've got oil. We got coal. We don't need those things. But this hot summer right now, and it is hot, and you can blame whatever you want to blame on it. What I blame for summer heat is called summer. That's what I blame. You can blame climate change, whatever you want. I blame summer. That's what for a long time I've been blaming summer for why it's so hot. I do. I blame it. It's not my favorite season, by the way. I'm a big fall guy. I like the fall. I mean, autumn is my favorite season. It is, really. I find it to be wonderful. Crisp nights and cool days, and I love it. Especially on the Jersey Shore. Crowds are gone. It's great. Summer's a close second, though. Spring is a little iffy because it rains a lot and everything like this. But ever since I've been a kid, I have noticed that summer is hot. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that. It gets hot in the summer. So I, for one, am of the mindset that on a day like today in July, what is this, July 29th, that the real culprit behind all of this is summer. Yeah. In other words, the season. But if you have a different theory, then knock yourself out. I'm not here to debate you. But I am here to tell you this. This season we call summer, whether you blame the heat on summer or not, is up to you. You're thankful you have an air conditioner, but you're not thankful you have these high energy bills. And no one is. And that's because of the Democrats and their green, ridiculous energy scams that helped their friends and went right into the pockets of their little billionaire buddies. And then we had to bail them out, and we're still bailing them out. And it's not ending anytime soon. And New Jersey voters are going to vote Republican. And Republicans on this issue of energy, along with schools, along with parental rights, along with making sure that boys don't play in girls' sports teams, that's why they're going to win. And also because the left keeps making just absolute fools out of themselves over things like an ad for freaking jeans. Blue jeans. Denim. Just denim in general. Denim is racist. And just in general, I guess. All right? And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, Vanaria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Let Dr. Mike be the guy who gives you the most beautiful smile of your life. Get a free implant consultation. We come back. Brooke Singman's going to join me from Fox News. There's breaking news around Russia Gate. We'll talk about it. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's a big deal to get this reporter on the show as the breaking news around the story has gone super viral, and it makes a lot of sense because it's a big deal. U.S. intelligence agencies had credible data. They knew that Hillary Clinton was behind it all. What am I talking about? Well, let's bring on the great Brooke Singman, Fox News digital political correspondent and reporter. It's great to have her back on the show today. Brooke, my friend, great reporting by you. I mean, I got to tell you, I said this yesterday on the show. We need more investigative journalists like you. You've not given up on this story. You've been going after it since day one.
Oh, Rich, thanks for having me on the show. And thank you for following along because, you know, it has been quite a journey the last 10 years covering this story. But you know what? For people that have been following it as closely as I think you and I have, yes, I'm breaking these big exclusive stories and we're getting all this declassified information, but we're not so shocked by what we're learning, right? I mean, it is just information confirming what we have been saying all along. So what I was able to break yesterday, actually, let me set the stage for your audience. So essentially, Special Counsel John Durham, he was the special counsel who was appointed to investigate why the Russia investigation started to begin with. He was appointed just 2 months after Special Counsel Robert Mueller completed his $40 million investigation. That was the investigation that picked up that original FBI investigation that claimed that Trump was colluding with Russia to influence the 2016 election. So John Durham was appointed. He investigated the origins of this investigation. And what we are expecting this week is a declassified annex of John Durham's report. Now, John Durham released his report back in 2023. What he said was that the FBI basically got played and ignored the fact that Hillary Clinton was doing this massive opposition research campaign against Trump, weaponizing the U.S. intelligence community and the FBI to kind of drum up this scandal, this fake Trump-Russia scandal. So John Durham basically puts this in his report, but you know what? Nobody really cared, except for us, maybe, because it was the Biden administration. It was 2023. Everyone had had enough. Everyone in the media was pretty focused on all the investigations that had been started about Trump. So what we're expecting this week is this declassified annex, and the annex is going to contain the underlying intelligence that Durham was able to see throughout his investigation that he maybe couldn't have put in his report because it was all classified. So I'm told that FBI Director Kash Patel and CIA Director John Ratcliffe, along with DNI Tulsi Gabbard and Attorney General Pam Bondi, they are all in close coordination as they work to declassify this document, which will ultimately be released by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. Now, I was briefed on the contents of this soon-to-be declassified annex. And what we've learned is that the U.S. Intelligence Committee, community, in the middle of 2016, before this Trump-Russia investigation was ever even opened at the FBI, U.S. intelligence had credible foreign sources. They picked up chatter from these credible foreign sources that said the FBI was going to investigate Clinton's manufactured allegations against Trump. So basically that the FBI was going to work with Clinton to really take seriously and give credence to this, this drummed up plan that tied Trump to Russia in the 2016 election. Now, we reported 5 years ago that there were documents revealing that CIA director at the time, John Brennan, briefed President Obama that he had received intelligence in July of 2016, saying that Hillary Clinton was going to drum up this plan to distract from the investigation the FBI was running on her private email server.
Right.
So again, this is a huge exclusive. The sources are briefing on this document that is soon to be declassified, but we have known this. And now all of these documents and this information finally coming to light and being taken as seriously as it needs to be.
So Brooke Singman, Fox News, great reporting. So to make it simple for a guy like me to understand, it's 2016. We're all talking about Hillary Clinton's private email server. And this is a big conversation. She wants to change the narrative because that's what you do in politics. You try to change the narrative. So the narrative that she tries to change is Trump's a Russian asset. Our government knows he's not. Our government knows this is all BS or a fugazi, as my people call it. But instead of our government letting everybody know that it's a fugazi, they actually go along with it and help give credibility and legitimacy to it. That's how I view it, Brooke Singman.
That is correct. That's exactly correct. And we've known this for a while, but there are notes of a July 28th, 2016 meeting with John Brennan in the Oval Office, with Obama, with then FBI Director James Comey, with then Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and others discussing the fact that the CIA had the intelligence that said that Hillary Clinton was drumming up a fake plan to tie Trump to Russia. Now, days later, John Brennan properly sends this information to the FBI, but guess what? The FBI ignores that intelligence, and on July 31st, 2016, just 3 days later, opens the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, which is the investigation that Trump was allegedly colluding with Russia to influence the 2016 election. Now, this is a whole rabbit hole that we can go down, and there is so much more to come. I wish I could say a little bit extra from what I'm hearing from my sources, but I can't just yet. I'm going to have more this week, and I think it's going to blow your mind. I really do.
Well, I would encourage every single listener to follow Brooke at Brooke Singman for all these updates, because, I mean, your piece yesterday, and it blew my mind. FBI's controversial Trump-Russia actions predicted with alarming specificity by foreign actors. I mean, that's the crazy thing, is that it's like everybody knew. Other countries knew that the FBI was going to go along with this scam. That's the part of this that I think people need to really take a second and digest this. Like, other countries saw what was happening, saw that this was playing out, and saw that our government was going to go along with the favored candidate, Hillary Clinton, over Donald Trump. And I assume Russia probably saw that, too. And I would imagine that Vladimir Putin saw that and was probably pretty happy about that, because it's very obvious from your reporting, Brooke, that he wanted Hillary Clinton to win. Otherwise, as you've raised on this show, he would have leaked all the stuff about her being on elephant tranquilizers or whatever she was on.
100%. And the other thing is, just thinking about these foreign sources, right? Don't forget that George Papadopoulos, that is a name we haven't talked about in a little while. George Papadopoulos was a Trump campaign advisor. He was overseas in London. He ended up, I mean, I've interviewed him dozens of times. He got set up and you know, was with a foreign individual, Stefan Halper and Alexander Downer. These are foreign individuals that then brought this alleged intelligence that George Papadopoulos allegedly had, which he didn't. It just is a whole, I hate that I even brought that up because it's a whole rabbit hole and I don't think we have time for it right now. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. It is a really important story that the majority of Americans don't know about because the majority of the media never covered the real story. And that's right. Just a shame and a disservice to the American people, quite frankly, because what do we talk about all the time? Watergate. Oh, my God, this is a million times bigger than Watergate.
Yeah.
To have the entire U.S. intelligence community weaponized against the then sitting president. Like, what? Crazy. Yeah. But, you know, that's what happened. And so all of these
and for citizens,
that are being,
you know, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, Brooke, but just
no,
your point on Papadopoulos and your point on the other people that were surveilled. For American citizens to be spied on by our government because the FISA courts just, you know, slap yes on these requests for warrants, and these judges had an obligation to protect the constitutional rights of these American citizens, and they did not, Carter Page being one.
They did not.
You know, this is what we call a police state. It's I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but, I mean, what I learned in college was that when the government's law enforcement and intelligence functions are being used for political activities, and that includes spying on citizens and trying to, you know, elect people as their lead, as you know, that's like literally textbook definition for police state. That's what we were dealing
100%.
With here, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, to bring up FISA, we all started talking about the Trump Russia probe again because CIA Director John Ratcliffe declassified the 2017 intelligence community assessment. And
yep.
He revealed that John Brennan, despite knowing that the Steele dossier was discredited an internet rumor, he and Andrew McCabe, the then deputy FBI director, pushed for its inclusion in the ICA. Okay? That's why we're all talking about this again and digging deeper. The Steele dossier was internet rumor. The Steele dossier was used as the basis for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants against Carter Page. So they used a fake document that they all knew was fake to surveil an American citizen, who actually, just to remind everyone, Carter Page was working for the CIA at the time. Do you remember that?
I don't.
So Carter Page was a CIA source at the time that they were surveilling him, but there was an FBI lawyer who removed that piece of information from the application of the FISA. And that person was
That's
charged.
Right.
His name was
yes.
James, I forgot his first name,
yes.
But Klein Smith was his name. He was charged in the Durham investigation.
Yes. Now
but
that
like,
you say that,
you
I remember
this,
that, yes.
Right? When you put this all together, it's like, what? What are you talking about?
And can
this
we can, and let's not forget Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. That's
oh,
like,
of
I mean, these two lovebirds who were texting, you know, we can't let this guy be president. Don't worry, we'll stop him. You know, just sweet nothing pillow talk between an
right.
FBI lawyer and a Justice Department. You know, I mean, it's like there's
yeah,
so much to this. We
so
should do a
Peter Strzok. Sorry to interrupt you. Peter Strzok is the one who opened Crossfire Hurricane. He's the one who opened the
yep.
investigation, the Trump-Russia probe. It's wild, all of it. But you know what? Obama and Clinton right now, you know what they say and the media accepts it? That's all ridiculous. What? They can
yeah.
just say it's ridiculous and then the rest of the media doesn't ask any questions? It's wild because all of these documents are being declassified. It's in black and white. You can't call us conspiracy theorists now. It's right there. Right.
I mean, Brooke Singerman, correct me if I'm wrong, but as the media and James Brennan and Clapper and Comey all go after Tulsi Gabbard and say she's just trying to kiss up to the boss, this is not her intelligence. This is intelligence from the House. This is intelligence from the CIA. And it was John Ratcliffe who got the ball rolling on this. So, I mean, if Tulsi's just there to try to impress Trump because he was sour on her for her analysis on Iran, which is what the media is saying right now, what's John Ratcliffe's motivation? He just likes to stir trouble? I mean,
right. And Director Patel over at the FBI. I mean, let's just as a reminder, Kash Patel in 2017-2018 was the chief investigator on the House Intelligence Committee who actually found out that the FISA warrants against Carter Page were fake. So he has yes. been on this from day one. In the first Trump administration, when John Ratcliffe was in Tulsi Gabbard's position as director of national intelligence, he declassified dozens of Trump-Russia documents. That's when we learned about that original Brennan-Comey-Obama meeting and the Clinton plan. So these officials have been investigating this forever, from the very beginning, and now they are back in positions of power to continue to deliver transparency and answers to the American people, and we're all going to get to the bottom of it. But you're right. I mean, the media wants to pretend that Tulsi Gabbard is cooperating with her other, you know, intelligence community colleagues. I don't, to impress the president, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That assertion is absolutely ridiculous.
It's just bad spin. Brooke Singman, excellent reporting as always. Keep us posted. Follow Brooke for all these breaking updates because there's another one that's about to drop, I'm sure, at Brooke Singman, Fox News, rising star, doing a great job on this. 10 years now, investigative journalism at its finest. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, as we continue, a lot going on. You know, care and compassion make all the difference when it comes to my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria. Because I've noticed things like these big chain dental offices that are popping up more and more, and more of these television commercials with these chain dental offices, I know that Dr. Mike has done so well because for him, it's about care, it's about compassion, and that's why people love going to see him, even though he's a dentist, because typically you don't want to go see the dentist. But this is the difference. Dr. Mike cares, and he gives people beautiful, beautiful smiles. Like he gave my wife. Bridget has a great smile. She had a great smile before, but she needed new veneers. And so Dr. Mike replaced them with caps, and my wife's smile has never looked better. Mom is the only discovered him for our family, but doctors and other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike. My good friend, Dr. Maz, who's very picky about where he gets any of his health care, he goes to Dr. Mike Veneria. That's what I mean. For 12 years, 12 consecutive years, other dentists have said Dr. Mike Veneria is the absolute best of the best, recognized among his peers as a master of implant dentistry. Why does that matter? Because when you're talking about something serious like an implant, serious dental work, you want to go to the absolute best, not the closest. And you don't want to go to a chain dental office. You want to go to a guy like Dr. Veneria. And he's easy to get to with an office in Cinnaminson and one in Woodbury, both right over the bridge. So please, make your appointment today for that free implant consultation. You know what else, too? It's just really important for your health to see a dentist. There's a lot of links between your gum health and your heart health, your overall health, your gut microbiome, all these things. So just go to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, or call his office at 856-786-2020. Great people, great music playing in the office, and a great environment to give you a great smile, Dr. Mike Veneria.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
As we think about Russiagate, it's very important to remember something that if the Democrats could do it all over again, they would. And if you ask average Democrat voters if they did the right thing to try to stop Donald Trump, they would say, yes, they did. See, that's the problem, is that we had a police state. We're now trying to dismantle the police state. We had an authoritarian government. But the Democrat Party is a party of authoritarians. I mean, that's who they've become. And the idea of them using law enforcement and intelligence to try to get their preferred candidate in place is right in their playbook. Absolutely. Always has been throughout history. The left has long done that. But if in their mind, the ends justify the means. So if that means then they've got to lie about Trump and spy on American citizens and they've got to weaponize justice and weaponize intelligence to do all that to stop a guy like Donald Trump, to get Hillary Clinton in there, to bring about their utopia, then do it. Whatever it takes. Whatever you got to do. They really believe that. This is why you don't have bipartisan outrage over this. There was bipartisan outrage over Watergate back then, but you're not going to have bipartisan outrage over this. And Watergate was so stupid. I mean, the fact that we even use gate anymore, when you look at what Watergate was compared to any of these other number of things, they're not even in the same ballpark. It's not even the same sport. It's not even the same league. It's I'm running out of analogies, but you get my drift on that. But I said yesterday on the show to you, I said, you would think this would lead to bipartisan outrage. People would say, I cannot believe we had a government that would use law enforcement and intelligence to try to influence the outcome of a campaign. They knew that Hillary Clinton was drumming this up to change the story about her emails. They lied to the American people, but they didn't. But because the Democrat Party would do it all over again in a heartbeat. Their only regret is that it didn't work. That's it. Their only regret is that it didn't work. They don't regret that they spied on Americans. They don't regret that they lied about intelligence. They don't regret that they made up intelligence. Their only regret is that it did not work and that they're stuck with Donald Trump and that Trump is there and they can't get rid of him. That's it. In a nutshell. And it's infuriating to me because I was hoping that more people who were on the left would use this as a moment to wake up and say, all right, they've gone way too far here. But they're not going to. They're not. This is a party that is deeply unpopular for a reason. They continue to embrace socialism. And I mentioned at the start of the show today this poll in New Jersey. Well, two things on that. Number one, Democrats are so unpopular, as CNN's Harry Enten explains. The shooting in New York City, now you got Zora Mandami as the standard bearer for the Democrats in New York. Zora Mandami and this guy who wanted to defund the police, and Mikey Sherrill, who's running for New Jersey governor as a Democrat, who backed him and said she agrees with his ideals and she would support him as mayor, now is acting like she's never heard of the guy. Like she's never heard of the guy. They have no idea who he is. Total flip-flop. In fact, we have the clip of that from Jack Cirelli's campaign. He put this out on Instagram. So this is Cut 22 from Jack Cirelli's Instagram, Jack4NJ. Take a listen.
So do you support the Democratic nominee in New York City? Because he is running on this affordability issue, which you're talking about.
Look, I haven't weighed in. I haven't made endorsements in New York because I'm running in New Jersey.
Will you support Mamdani in the general election?
If he's the Democratic candidate, which it sounds like he is, I assume I will. You know, if he's going to be working to deliver efficient government, that's something very interesting to me.
So she's now acting like, hey, I'm Jersey. I don't know. I'm Jersey. But she'll also bring up Donald Trump's name relentlessly from now until the end of time, even though she's running in New Jersey. Democrats have a major problem. Here's CNN's Harry Enten going through the polling data. Lowest on record, cut number one.
Dems, and let's look at their net favorable ratings. Whoa, woof. I mean, my God. You know, we mentioned CNN. We had that poll come out a little while ago on their net favorable rating. They were 26 points underwater. You think that's low enough? How about we go even lower? We'll go to this side of the screen. I'm going to walk over here. We go to the Wall Street Journal. Minus 30 points. 30 points underwater. Their lowest on record. These polls have records going all the way back since the early 1990s. And when it comes to the Democratic Party's net favorable rating in both the Wall Street Journal poll and the CNN poll, the Democratic Party is breaking records in the way, Jessica Dean. You don't want to break records.
Yeah.
You don't want to break those records, Jessica Dean. Definitely not. But we have to break now, and we'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.